Hospitals and health organizations today face so many challenges, and many of those affect the bottom line. One presiding factor in all of this is how patients feel about their level of service, and that's why it's critical to talk about the patient experience. It is my privilege today to actually interview one of my teammates at PRC. This is the first time that we have used this format, and I really like it because I think it helps the listener learn more about what services we offer and what services other companies offer. I'm interviewing today Nikki DeWeese. Nikki, thank you for being here. Thank you for taking part in this.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Nikki is our EBO director at PRC. Her job entails a lot of different things, and I have found her to be on top of everything. Matter of fact, as we were coming to the recording studio, there's a lot of things we hadn't had a chance to talk about recently, and had that opportunity today. We provide this service of EBO to several healthcare providers. Nikki, what do you feel is the most important task that you provide to our EBO clients?
Well, to explain a little bit about what EBO is as compared to full third-party collections, in EBO we behave as an extension of a provider's business office, and the end goal there is always to resolve the accounts either by a payment arrangement or offering financial assistance. Resolving the account in EBO may not mean collecting any dollars at all. It may be helping a patient to resolve or explain an insurance issue. It may end in explaining the terms for financial assistance for a particular health system. End goal being just to resolve the account or reduce the number of days that the account remains on our provider's AR.
So you feel it is very important that our call center is talking to patients in the name of XYZ Hospital. Mm-hmm. Do you feel it is important that we take on their culture? Let's call it their way of doing things.
We do. I think certainly being knowledgeable about their particular guidelines, the guidelines for a giant hospital are going to be quite different from a small clinic. The demographic for who they see, those guidelines could be very different. The average balance that we're likely to see is going to really dictate what those guidelines are. And we've got a good team of very careful, compliant individuals who are careful to know, who they have on the phone, who the provider is, and what they want to convey to their patients. And we do try to adopt that, yes.
That's good. I know Nikki and I many times are involved in the actual kickoff event for a new client that would be using EBO services. And part of that kickoff is us actually visiting the healthcare provider site, the hospital site. And I know, and I don't know how you feel about this, but just being in that building with those people, some of that culture almost rubs
it off radiates.
On you. It does. It really does. And even you can go in the front door of the building, and how you're greeted by the first person you meet says so much about the institution. Okay. And you can get a feel-good feeling, or you can feel very maybe intimidated at times. Mm-hmm. What steps does your team do that you provide the actual good or patient experience? And I want to qualify this a little bit. Hospitals now, healthcare providers, physician practices, large physician practices, in their top five is patient experience. Mm-hmm. And many times you see the hospital, you can turn on the television and you're going to see so many ads for so many different hospitals. Mm-hmm. I know recently a hospital, two systems merged in my area, and they're obviously spending a lot of money on marketing. Mm-hmm. And the marketing is good. I mean, the commercials are almost, you need a box of Kleenexes when you, when you do that. So what steps do you take to ensure that good patient experience that hospitals hold us accountable for?
Okay. Well, we can take a few steps to provide for an exceptional patient experience. Obviously, that experience begins when they enter the hospital and they take advantage of the service, but that experience doesn't stop when they leave. The next steps are essentially the billing of their insurance and the dropping of a self-pay bill, if there is one. One of the first steps I think we take is ensuring that we safeguard that patient information. Again, we are an extension of a healthcare provider. There is a transfer of private information, and it's important to us that we safeguard that almost to a fault.
Yeah.
When we receive a call from a patient, or we make a call to a patient and we're asking them to provide for me the last four of your social, or provide for me your date of birth, what's the first thing that comes to their mind?
Trying to get some information.
Who are you, and how am I sure?
Right.
How am I sure that I'm exactly conveying this to you? So that's one of the challenges that we experience is wanting to safeguard that information, and at the same time require that they share it with us when they call in to talk about their account. So safeguarding their private information and explaining our reasons for wanting to do that so carefully, that's one of our challenges. But I think it does lend credibility to what we do. And I think secondary only to being knowledgeable about the provider's, you know, payment plan guidelines, financial assistance policies, more things that we can do. We go into every call believing that people sincerely want to take care of their bills. They're just people, just like the rest of us. And people want to fulfill their obligations. And sometimes there are disputes that haven't been addressed, or an unspoken hardship, or a misunderstanding about their insurance. And our end goal is to help them, you know, resolve any disputes, answer for any hardships, help how we can, be clear about the guidelines and solutions that are available to them, and kind of go from there.
I'm under the theory a lot, and I've always been under this theory, and even caring for an ailing mother, or actually being in the healthcare arena myself as a patient, puts a whole different light on it when you actually wear the shoes of a patient, mm-hmm, or a family member. And I have found that it's everything is so important that they do that there is understanding. And this theory is, a patient is an altered person, mm-hmm, in some way, shape, or fashion. The patient is altered. They're altered because there's something going on physically that needs to be addressed. Well, that alters you because you have the fear of what it may be. And there's a lot of fear, anxiety. They're altered because they know there's probably going to be a lot of money spent outside the usual realm of bills that you have to pay. And then, you know, I think the family members are altered. Being the son, an only child of a mother who was suffering from Alzheimer's dementia, I was altered. And I know visitors are altered by coming to visit someone sick in a hospital. So they're altered people, and they've got to be treated such. And I think something you really said just a minute ago that really stuck out, they're people. And they face the same issues that all of us do. And we respect them, I feel, their company as people.
Right.
They're important. Do you ever find situations where you have to do what I call service recovery? Do you ever have situations where, you know, you're there to talk about a financial means in a hospital and that person just suddenly unloads on you about, well, I didn't like the way this was handled. Do you ever find situations like that?
We do. It is rare by the time an account reaches our office, typically any genuine care concerns or treatment complaints. Those things don't typically wait for a bill to drop.
Yeah.
Those are things that, you know, as soon as that relative or that patient comes home, they're prepared to knock on doors and resolve those things.
Yes.
They're not going to wait
yes.
for an invoice to come in to say
yes.
those things. But we do encounter them sometimes. And typically, you know, not being an employee of the hospital or someone who performed a service or facilitated that service for a patient, it's going to typically require somebody who is closer to that treatment. So we don't hear it a whole lot, but we do hear it. Again, we typically have to reach out to someone at the provider to answer for those things, to validate those complaints and get back to us. But in the meantime, that person's upset. They're irate. They're emotional.
Absolutely.
Listening to them is all you can do.
Absolutely.
Listen and let them feel heard and let them, you know, if you're not able to cure their situation, you are certainly able to express to them that you would if you could.
Yeah.
Take the information, take down, you know, the details, commit to escalating that issue to the right person, the right management member. You know, what we don't have the authority to answer, we can certainly be sincere sounding boards for.
Yeah.
And commit to getting answers,
yes.
feedback
yes.
at the very minimum.
And I think that really, they're being heard.
Mm-hmm.
And we're helping them get answers. And we're offering them options that they most likely didn't know about.
Right.
And as I discussed with one of our clients, we almost become shepherds. we're advocates for them. We're on their side. We're backing them. What other services do you provide that you think enhance patient experience?
Well, there are a few things that we do that indirectly enhance patient experience. And a lot of those services depend greatly on what the provider themselves have asked for of us in our services. Things like a Medicaid scrub. If we can identify government insurance and have that billed, it's really a win-win for the patient and for the provider.
Absolutely.
The patient doesn't have to go through the administrative paperwork, making the phone calls, giving us that information.
Yeah,
we're able
right.
to find it. We're able to get it billed, and we're able to do that timely before there are any timely filing issues or before their account goes to collections and so on. That's a service that we, of course, have available. Oftentimes what we hear is, I didn't know this bill existed. Maybe they moved. We have skip tracing services that we activate to try to make sure billings are getting to the right place or phone calls are directed to the right people. All in all, here again, an indirect patient experience enhancer. We're trying to make immediate contact with people before their accounts age to a point that they can't resolve it outside of credit reporting or collection activity and whatnot. And, you know, we, assuming that down the road a client wants to take advantage of a financing option, perhaps there are a growing number of patients that can't meet the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a sister company that offers a medical financing option, and we can help the client get it off their AR, help the patient by allowing extended payment terms. And that, of course, is a completely separate contract, but a service that we can certainly facilitate.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you, you know, I've seen... we did something, I think you remember when I came to work here, to work for PRC, I wanted to ensure that we were truly being advocates for the patient. So I went to Nikki, I said, you know, how can we do this? Nikki said, listen to some calls. And I did. And we are patient advocates. It was a pleasant experience to listen to those calls. And we as a company take that as very critical. You know, Nikki, we've worked together now, I think, 7 years. Nikki's been with the company 15 years, and I've been there 7. I studied healthcare management and marketing at App State, and I always wanted to work in a hospital, and that's what I got to do. And so I've not really done that much marketing, but my background is healthcare, and I think one of the most important things that I love to ask other healthcare colleagues is, because I think we can learn from each other, how do you lead?
How do I lead? Well, I think it starts by trying to demonstrate the behaviors that you're expecting out of your team.
Yeah.
You can't ask for what you're not prepared to give and still expect to command their respect.
Yes.
I lead by demonstrating the same behaviors that I'm asking for out of my team. We've got a large team and, you know, rules and policies that have to be followed. And if I expect them to do those things, I need to adhere to them myself. I like to have their trust. I don't think that I'm going to earn their trust by putting myself above the rule. And if I'm going to ask for their trust, I need to turn over some of mine.
Right.
I need to be able to trust my agents to get on the phone and use sound logic and make good choices. And a lot of that comes with knowledge, but a lot of that is just in you to make the right choice to do the right thing. In their education, I try to give them the big picture. I don't want to say check the box. Well, you didn't check that box. They need to understand why they're checking the
yeah,
box.
Absolutely.
They need to have things broken down to the way that they learn and not just counseled for the things that
they've done
incorrectly. Perhaps there's a reason it was done incorrectly. Perhaps they didn't have the big picture, and I would like for them to have the big picture. But on a deeper level, just remembering that our jobs don't exist without them.
That's right.
Our jobs don't exist without agents to get on the phone and work with these patients. And much like ourselves, these employees, they have kids and families and, you know, celebrations and hardships. And it's important that when they come to work, they feel safe and they feel celebrated when those opportunities present, treating them like they deserve to be treated. A lot of times, reminding them that the people they're talking to on the phone have those same victories and those same marriages and those same kids and family issues, and reminding them that a lot of times building credibility is just identifying with them. You know, we lost a really remarkable teammate of ours recently, came to work with us about 5 years ago and resigned to go and work for the Army Reserve and fundraising. She just had such a delightful way of explaining this job. And making you feel like you were saving lives talking to these patients and calling to collect money. And she just had such a beautiful way of putting a silver lining on everything. And she would really convince you that you were saving a life that day, that, you know, by making that phone call, you were pointing a person to a solution to a problem that they had, a problem that, you know, financial issues that are responsible for so many of the negative things in our society, divorce, suicide, family problems, all of that pointing back to financial hardship. And she would present this job as though you were the solution.
That's right.
She would really make you feel good about this. And, you know, just how much more fulfilling could our jobs feel?
Yeah.
If we saw that kind of possibility in everything that we were doing. So,
Nikki, it has been a pleasure to have an actual teammate with me here to talk about this. Thank you for what you do for our company. And thank you for what you do for patients. And thank you for spending some time with me today.
Well, thank you too, John.
Thanks for joining us today for the patient experience. Please help us out by sharing our show with a healthcare professional in your life or by leaving us a review on iTunes or your preferred podcast platform.